Abhidharma cosmology describes a flat earth around which celestial bodies like the sun and moon revolve. According to this theory, our earth is one of the four continents, in fact, the southern continent, which lie in the four cardinal directions of a towering mountain called Mount Meru at the center of the universe. Each of these continents is flanked by two smaller continents, while the gaps between them are filled with massive oceans. This entire world system is supported by a ground, which in turn remains suspended in empty space. The power of air keeps the base afloat in empty space. Vasubandhu gives a detailed description of the orbital passage of sun and moon, their sizes and their distances from the Earth. These sizes, distances, and so forth are flatly contradicted by the empirical evidence of modern astronomy. There is a dictum in Buddhist philosophy that to uphold a tenet that contradicts reason is to undermine one's credibility. To contradict empirical evidence is a still greater fallacy. So, it is hard to take the Abhidharma cosmology literally. Indeed, even without recourse to modern science, there is a sufficient range of contradictory models for cosmology within Buddhist thought for one to question the literal truth of any particular version. My own view is that Buddhism must abandon many aspects of the Abhidharma cosmology. To what extent Vasubandhu himself believed in the Abhidharma worldview is open to question. He was presenting systematically the variety of cosmological speculations that were then current in India. Strictly speaking, the description of the cosmos and its origins, which the Buddhist texts refer to as the container, is secondary to the account of the nature and origins of sentient beings, who are the contained. The Tibetan scholar Gendun Chöpö, who traveled extensively through the Indian subcontinent in the 1930s, suggested that the Abhidharma description of the Earth as the southern continent represents an ancient map of central India. He gave a compelling account of how the descriptions of the three remaining continents match actual geographical sites in modern India. Whether this hunch is true or whether these places were in fact named after the continents thought to surround Mount Meru remains an open question. In some early scriptures, the planets are described as spherical bodies suspended in empty space, not dissimilar to the conception of planetary systems in modern cosmology. In Kalachakra cosmology, a definite sequence is given for the evolution of the celestial bodies in our present galaxy. First, the stars were formed, after which the solar system came into being, and so on. What is interesting in both the Abhidharma and the Kalachakra cosmologies is the big picture they offer of the origin of the universe. There is a recognition that ours is but one among countless world systems. Both the Abhidharma and Kalachakra give the technical term trikilikasam, which I believe corresponds roughly to a billion-fold world system, to convey this notion of vast universe systems, and both claim that there are countless such systems. So, in principle, although there is no beginning or end to the universe as a whole, there is a definite temporal process of a beginning, middle, and end in relation to any individual world system. The evolution of a particular universe system is understood in terms of four principal stages, known as the eras of 1. Emptiness, 2. Formation, 3. Abiding, and finally, 4. Destruction. Each of these stages is thought to last a tremendously long time, 20 medium eons, and it is only in the last medium eon of the formation stage that sentient beings are said to evolve. The destruction of a universe system may be caused by any of the three natural elements other than earth and space, namely, water, fire, and air. Whichever element led to the destruction of the previous world system will act as the basis for the creation of a new universe.